There's an old statement or an adage that perhaps every one of you have heard many, many times, that there is nothing in life certain but death and taxes. Anybody ever heard of that? You know, and if you've ever, part of that is true, but not all of it is true. You know, if you've ever purchased a piece of chewing gum or you purchased anything in your life, I assure you that you pay taxes unless you pocketed it like Jerry does. The reality is we do pay taxes, and that's a true statement. Death is also something that is very certain. We know according to the Hebrew writer, Hebrew chapter 9, down in verse 27, the scripture says, it is appointed once for man to die, but after this, here comes the judgment. So we know that those things are certain. We know also today that judgment, as the Bible just showed us, is very certain. I can tell you today that there's a couple other things that's certain. It's either heaven or hell. Amen. Heaven is certain or hell is certain, and it is up to you to determine which of those two places that you're going to go. But I want to share with you today something else that's very certain. It doesn't matter about your age, whether you're 14 years old or 104. I want to tell you something. I know today I want to try to encourage us, but I think we have to face the truth in life, and the truth in life is this: no matter who you are, no matter how much money you may have or don't have, no matter about your level of popularity, no matter where you live, what city, what town, it doesn't matter the balance in your checking or savings account. I can absolutely assure you of this one thing, that difficulties is going to come your way. Do you believe that today? We are all, every single accountable, living, breathing human being will face adversity. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face trials. We're going to have setbacks in life. Many, many times when an individual is facing those setbacks, we have a tendency to try to blame it on somebody. Have you ever noticed that? We just can't take what's in front of us and try to deal with that through our Father in heaven, but we try to blame it on somebody. I think about today, you know, when we say things or we do things or we engage ourselves in things that we shouldn't, we say, well, I probably wouldn't have done that if I hadn't been hanging out with this individual. I probably wouldn't have reacted to that had it not been for him or her making me mad before. I probably wouldn't have frequented that place had it not warranted for me to be in there. Even all the way back to the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve was there in the garden. We know that Eve blamed a serpent. We know that Adam blamed her, but that wasn't good enough. Matter of fact, he even looked up to God and he said, God, it's this woman who you sent me. So he still played the blame game, didn't he? He was faced with adversity. He was faced with the challenge. He was faced with difficulty and he failed miserably. So did Eve. In that, they began to play the blame game. Right in the midst of all that, what they could have and should have done is turn back to God. Amen. Today, I want to tell you that we are facing and we're going to face difficult times, but I can also share with you today that we've got victory coming as well. Today may be a very difficult day for you. I don't know what's going on at your house. You have no clue what's going on at my house, but I can tell you this, no matter how heavy that burden is today, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter about the setback that you think you're involved in, if you love God, I want you to remember this, a setback is a setup, isn't it? It's a setup for something better and brighter ahead, brighter days ahead of us. So I want to ask you a couple of questions today when we get to that. What are you doing? And as the screen showed there, what are you doing individually when we are faced with difficult times? Let me share with you what the Bible tells us to do. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, if we drop down 28 through 30, I want you to notice the invitation that is given to every single one of us. Are you there? Matthew 11, 28, 30? Come to all you who labor and are heavy, what? Jesus says, and this is Jesus talking there, he says, I will give you rest. Look at that. Jesus goes on to say, take my yoke upon you, and he says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And this is a promise that he makes to every single one of us. What does he say? You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and the Bible says, and my burden is light. So no matter what we're up against today, no matter how difficult the challenge may be, no matter what in the world has come into your family, into your life, into your situation, understand this. Jesus is wanting you to put your reliance upon him. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus says, and I will give you that rest. You know why? Because I can come to you, you can come to me, we can go to each other, and those things are important. I'm not minimizing the effects of fellowship and encouragement, what the Bible tells us to do. But there is no one in all of the world, there is nothing in all of the world that can heal our broken heart like Jesus Christ can. Amen? It is the Father above that can mend broken relationships, broken hearts, broken financials. Whatever the situation may be, you and I have got to quit relying upon people. We've got to stop, and I'm not trying to discount other people, don't get me wrong. It's important to fellowship. It's important to be able to rely on individuals. But our dependence should be on Almighty God. Amen? God will never forsake us, and He'll never let us down. So what are we doing during these difficult times? I want to share with you this morning about three or four short points, things we can consider as we talk about the title, Difficult Times. Here's your first point. When times are difficult, now this one's going to be very elementary, but I want to remind you that not enough of us are doing this. I can't judge you, but sometimes I find myself guilty. When times are very difficult, we need to be sure we go to the Lord in prayer. Does that make sense? And I'm talking about not just one of those selfish prayers. Dear Lord, or God, or Father in heaven, I'm having this situation. Please be with me today. Pull me through this. Let me do that. This is all about, I don't feel good. Let me do this. Have you noticed there's way too many my's and I's in that? One of the problems that we have in our world today, in our relationship, in our walk with Christ, you've heard me say this before, we've got the I, my disease. And we need to be sure that what we're praying for is God's guidance. God, what is best for my life? I'm in a crisis. I'm in a situation. I'm in a challenge. I've got these difficulties. I'm walking around with a broken heart. How am I supposed to survive in a world like this with a broken and shattered heart? The problem is you're asking, how am I? Let's put it in the hands of the Lord. Amen? Let's put it in the hands of God. Say, you know what? I've done all I can do. I've had it. I'm done with it. I'm throwing in the towels. I'm finished. I'm going to walk in the newness of life. I'm going to walk the way Christ wants me to walk. He'll be offended. She'll be offended. They might be offended. I don't care. Because my whole goal in life is to satisfy God. Say that with me. My whole goal in life is to satisfy God. You know why that's so important, brothers and sisters? Because during these perilous times, during these times of adversity, during these times where we see these huge mountains in front of us, we can't do it on our own. Let's use good grammar. We ain't gonna make it without God. Amen? That's good grammar. So let's make sure that we go to the Lord in prayer. It is a wonderful assurance that God hears the prayers of those that are seeking to do His will. If we look over to the book of John chapter 9, down in verse 31, the scripture says, now we know that God does not hear who? But if anyone is a worshiper of Him and does His will, the Bible says He what? He hears them. So for the people that we see out in our world today that is not engaged with Jesus Christ, not engaged in His worship, not in a solid relationship with Jesus Christ, let me offend you pretty quick. God is not listening to your prayer. Some would say, well, how in the world could a preacher of the gospel stand up and say that? Would you read John 9:31 with me again? The Bible says, now we know that God does not hear. I don't think you got it. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. However, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, the Bible says He hears them. So Bobby, you can't argue with me about that. Because it's not about Jerry gonna win or you're gonna win. You have to take that up with the Lord. Amen. Because Teresa, He's the one that said it. And He made that crystal clear that if you're seeking to do His will, He'll hear your prayers. Sadly, there's a bunch of people in the world today that'll seek God's guidance when they're facing adversity. They'll seek God's guidance when difficulties are upon them. My marriage is falling apart. My health isn't as good as it was. I just lost my job. My car just got repoed. The house just burned. I got rats and mice. Whatever the situation may be. Oh, do we seek out then? Then we're looking for God, aren't we? And then, you know what? Those mouse trap just caught the mice. The rat trap just got the rat. Just got a different job. Things are a lot better. You was over here praying earnestly. Now we're not praying as much. Are you getting this picture? Let me remind you of 9/11, Jerry. I've said this a bunch of times in the midst of this congregation. September the 11th, when all that took place, I was a minister of the College Grove Church of Christ. And I remember, Dana, you were there too. And I remember the building, we seriously speaking, pulled out those folding chairs. The building was to capacity. And as soon as the dust settled from the 9/11 situation, so did the people's emotions. So did the people's desires. So did their pull, if I may, or their drive to get to know who Jesus Christ really is. Sometimes people use prayer as a crutch. Do you agree with that? But we should be earnestly seeking God in prayer every single day. When times are tough, when times are difficult, go to the Father in prayer. The Christian today who is actively and consistently involved going to the Lord in prayer is assured of a much happier life, a life that's full of joy. Go with me to the book of Romans. I got to share this one with you. Romans chapter 12. Are y'all there already? All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Watch this. The Bible says, rejoicing in, patient in what? Continuing steadfastly in what? So, I mean, I know I could, if Harvey would want me to look at it a little bit before and a little bit after, but the reality is, look at that word rejoicing. You remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about the word joy that we found in the word rejoice. You remember that? So you can't have joy without rejoicing. How are we going to have rejoicing? By being engaged with Jesus. Yes or no? All right, so this is what we're to do. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in during your trials. Continue steadfastly. And the Bible says to do that in prayer. When the going gets rough, when the difficult times are upon us, when these challenges are around, seek some people you can rely on. But be reminded that the people you rely on can also let you down. Jesus reminds us of that. Rob was talking about that this morning over in the Garden of Gethsemane, if I may. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, around 36 through 44, somewhere around in there, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. How many of his buddies did he take with him? Three. And these three buddies he took with him, do you remember what he told him? He said, you sit over here and what? Watch for me. I'm going to go over here and pray. And Jesus went over there and he began to do what? But he went back, and how did he find them? Asleep. And he says, what? Could you not even watch with me for even an hour? Jesus went away again the second time. And Amy, listen, he went away the second time and he prayed, but then he got back up and he went back. And how did he find them again? Asleep again. So he went away and went back. Bobby, he went to the third time and he found them asleep, sis. And when he found them, did he go back? He did the same thing again, didn't he? But when Jesus was there in the garden, did he give up after the first prayer? Did he give up after the second prayer? The Bible says he just continued in prayer, and it records for us, the Bible shows us, three different times. So we know that God just continued in prayer. God did not love the idea that his son Jesus was going to have to go to the cross. Jesus did not like the idea about what he was about to endure. Jesus had done nothing wrong. He was perfect. Say it with me. He was perfect. But he was, which made him the perfect sacrifice. Because Jesus had no sin, you and I do. So he went to the cross, bearing our shame, carrying our guilt, bearing those stripes, and he did that for you and for me. But I think about how Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane just continued to pray. I think about how Paul kept going to the Father over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 6 through 9, and about how when he was over there, and he continued to go to Jesus, go to the Father, and he kept saying, he talked about this thorn that was in his side. I think he went, what, three times the Bible shows there. And he asked if his thorn could be removed. But you remember what Jesus said? My grace is what? That's what he told him. In the book of Psalms, chapter 145, if you look at verses 18 and 19, is a wonderful encouragement to you and me in the area of prayer. I think about Psalm 145, 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who do what? All who call upon Him. Those who pray to Him. To all who call upon Him in what? 19. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear the cry. And the Bible says, what else will He do? The Bible says that He'll save them. What a blessed promise that we have from Almighty God right there. Isn't it nice to know that we've got a Jesus that loves us that much? Isn't it nice to know that for certainty in life, there's going to be a judgment? And if we live our life conducive to what the Scripture says, we will have a home in heaven with God and the heavenly host. Let's go back, if you don't mind, to the book of Psalm chapter 17. Let me show you something else. Psalm 17, let's look at what, 6 through 9 sound good to y'all? All right. Psalm 17, 6 through 9. So remember, when things are difficult, when things are stressed out, when you don't feel good, you feel like I can't take it another second, when things are just rough, and then on the other side, when things are awesome, when things are great, when it's time to shout victory, when things are absolutely going perfect, continue steadfastly in prayer. Amen. Not just in difficult times, but in those awesome times, on those days that you're conquering the problem, that you're conquering the situation. Be sure that we're praying hard there too. Psalm 17, 6 through 9. All found? The Bible says, I have called upon you, for you hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who do what? Thank you, Ashley. From those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. That's beautiful, isn't it? So God, Esther, is listening to those prayers. Listening to the prayers of those who are actively seeking Him. Those that are calling upon them with a willful heart, willing to go by what's best and what God has for them. So many times we put conditions on our prayers. Do you think we might be guilty of that? I have. Lord, I ask you to please help me in this situation. Lord, I ask you for direction. I ask you for guidance. I ask for this. I ask for that. And then when it really doesn't go the way I wanted it, I wonder what happened. Lord, I prayed about this. Why'd you say no? Lord, I asked you about helping me through this situation and I'm still in that same situation. Why did you say no? I've shared with y'all many times before. There was a girl in high school. Man, I love this girl. As we called it when I was young, she was a hottie. And I'm talking hottie tamale, okay? And I remember I used to think, man, she is fine as wine is what everybody used to say. And I used to, I'm serious, when I, nothing takes place with Paula. Let me make sure I'm not divorced by the time I leave here. Whew, help me, Jesus. Deliver me, Jesus. But the reality is, I remember it seriously. And I, even in the annuals, you know, you get the annuals, I used to just sit and look. I'm like, oh, wow. And I used to pray, Lord, just give me that opportunity to be her boyfriend. He didn't. Oh, he didn't. Thank God he didn't. When I look at her today, I can't judge her. But her mama has to love her. And I got to thinking, Lord, what would have happened? What would have happened if he'd have said, yeah, come on, Jerry, she's yours. I just can't even go the next step. That would have been a rough step. Sometimes it's better that God said no. Are y'all getting a picture? Ooh, I'll bring you a picture. You'll agree with me. That is so wrong. Okay. The second point I want us to examine. Heather, you get me in trouble every time I'm up here. The second point I want us to examine today is this. When times get difficult, and did they ever get difficult? All right. Study His Word. Let's just keep it simple. Study God's Word. You know why we ought to study God's Word? Because have you noticed how everybody's a Dear Abby? Y'all young people know what Dear Abby means. Have you noticed how everybody's got the right answer? All right. It seems like you can be faced with an adversity, you can be faced with a situation, and no matter what, He's got the answer. She's got the answer. She can tell you the answer to all of your problems, but can't solve one of his or hers. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? Us. Talking about us. We can always find the remedy. We can always find the cure. We can always justify, air quotes, what's wrong in their life. If he would just do this, that wouldn't be a problem. If she would just do that, that wouldn't be a problem. I can tell you the reason they're in that situation is because, bong, gong, 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 gong. Get it? We're so quick to think that we are in a judgment seat. We're not. Each one of us needs to close our pie hole and let God do His job. Does that make sense? Close our pie hole, let God do what He's supposed to do. Quit trying to take God's place. It's very important that you and I encourage each other. Yes? And we can also offer guidance to the correction from God's Word. But when we put these words in front of it, when we preface our actions by, I believe, we have a problem, don't we? We can use the words, I'm convinced that the Bible says this. The Bible tells me that this is how I was able to get over this situation. The Bible's coaching me on how I can get through the situation that I'm facing. But when we start, I said, I believe, I this, I that, God's already been omitted. Amen? So let's make sure that we study His Word. It's important for you, see, to study God's Word. You know why? Because you don't need to take what I'm saying to heart. I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and I want you to pay attention to what I'm telling you, because you need to go home and study to investigate those who teach. You need to make sure that what I'm teaching up here today is right according to the Scripture for my salvation and yours. Do you agree with that? Do y'all agree with that? Because two people's in a coma. Wake up. There we go. All right, now let's move on to the next. Studying God's Word. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my what? It's a light unto my... That's God's Word, isn't it? So if you want direction, use God's Word. If you want to know which way to go, right here. Larry, you passed out something a good while back, and I could not find it anywhere. But it talked about the Bible, and my memory's not good enough, but it kept saying something about the Bible is a compass. And, you know, it shows man in the steps. If y'all got that, y'all bring me, make a copy and bring it to me. I really need it for next time I preach a sermon. But the reality is it talks about the Bible being the roadmap to salvation. It's man's compass. And there was a whole thing, a whole plethora of things listed in that talking about the Bible. I sure wish I could have found it. But that is what the Bible is. It's direction for mankind, isn't it? It's directions unto heaven. When we see things in life that are falling apart, we must study God's Word, God's holy Word, brothers and sisters, so that you and I together will see firsthand what God would have us to do. We see exactly, seriously, exactly what God wants and how to handle every situation. So asking ourselves this question, how much study of the Bible am I really doing? How much reading God's Word am I really doing? Do you spend more time in front of the computer than you do that of the Bible? Are you spending more time watching television than you are that of the Scriptures? Do you spend more time engaged in sporting events than you do the Bible? Are you wound up in video games much more than the Bible? Are you on Facebook more than you are the real book? How much study are you really doing in the Word of God? Paul encouraged young Timothy. Let me tell you very quickly, Timothy was a preacher that was going through some stuff because he was young. People was making fun of him. I shouldn't say it like that. They were looking down at him. He said, man, how can somebody so young be a preacher? You don't even know what you're doing. You hadn't had enough life's experience yet. But Paul told him, he said, listen, Timothy, come over, man. So Timothy walked over to him. He looked at him. He said, hey, he goes, study to show thyself. Thank you, Ashley. Approved unto God. A workman don't need to be ashamed. And he goes further and he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You remember that? He told him to rightly divide the truth, rightly apply the Bible, and move forward. We also see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. So the Bible, listen to me, the Bible is still today the number one selling book in the world. Isn't that awesome? The number one selling book in the world, but it's probably the most neglected book in the world. I don't get that, do you? Don't let us fall guilty in that. When things are difficult, study the Word of God. When things are going awesome, study the Word of God. It's okay. People say, well, never question God. I beg to differ. I question Him all the time. I do. If some of y'all think it's wrong, go home and eat banana pudding. The reality is, I do question my Father above. God, I'm up against this. I don't know why. Will you help me? Why am I facing this? But I also question God, Esther, on other things too. Why am I so blessed? Why is it that I'm the one that woke up this morning? Why is it, Lord, that I have shoes on my feet, socks on? Why is it that I ate a bowl of cereal before I came in here today? Why is it I'm a member of this great family? Why is it that I can still see? Why is it that I still have physical agility to be able to get up and shower myself? Do y'all understand what I'm getting at? Why is it, God, that you just continue to bless me like this? Why? But we don't. We usually talk to God and blame God only in adversity, don't we? But question God. It's okay. You can question God with respect and regard and fear. Not fear like I do wasps and rattlesnakes, but fear and respect and regard. Are y'all getting this or not? Don't make me start over because I'm not even hungry yet. Look, she's like, no, please, God, don't let him start over. All right. So remember, go to the Lord in prayer and go to the Lord in study. Yes or no? I answered it good. The third point. When times are difficult, I like this. This is a little bit easier. The other one's convicted. When times are difficult, know this, that God cares for you. When times are difficult, know that God loves you. Listen, when everybody else, or my little sister used to say, when everybody, you ever heard that word, everybody? Abby, you know, you say it all the time. It's like, everybody else getting peanut butter cookies. She brought peanut butter cookies. I can't get that right. Anyway, and then this one took them. But that's a whole different thing. We're going to talk about forgiveness about 3 months from now. But listen to me, seriously. When, Dana, what you said, when everybody else turns against you, know that God never will. Amen? Say that like you mean it. Amen? God loves you, and He always has, and He always will. Even today, if you don't feel you have a relationship with God, I promise you, according to the Bible, God did not turn His back on you. You turned your back on Him. God is always there. If we are living, breathing human beings and we got breath in our bodies, we're able to come back to the Lord, aren't we? Just like the prodigal, there's a thrilling example of that, and we'll look at that later on, not today. But when times get difficult, just know that God loves you and He cares for you. In this life that we live, there are times that we may feel like no one. Have you ever felt that way? That, man, nobody really cares. Anybody ever been there besides me? All right, all three of us. Yeah, appreciate the rest of these liars. But anyway, so there are times in life that we may feel like, you know what, and we might be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We may have a lot of people. We may be in a room full of people and still feel alone. Anybody ever felt that besides me? I've been in the midst of hundreds of people and felt so by myself. But when we realize and we know that God is with us, thick and thin, that God is with us and He's there within, we're never alone. Amen? God has got this. God loves us. He cares for us. If you're ever in life feeling like nobody cares for you, go into the Bible, read it, let God communicate with you. Sometimes it seems that when tough times do come up, some of your friends that you think are your friends, they're kind of far away. Have anybody ever noticed that? How about this? Let me know if you, y'all heard that. If there's ever, all you have to do, I have an aunt. God rest her soul, she's deceased now. That was wrong, Dana. Here's what she told me. Mom was in the hospital, not doing well. Dad was, that's when Dad was still with us. My aunt kept on. I thought, I wish this lady would close her mouth. I didn't like her to begin with. She was my aunt. I loved her soul, but whoo, I didn't like her. Still don't like her. Facebook's on. I didn't like her. I didn't. Nope. Did not. So the reality is this. Here's what was said. If you need anything at all, please let me know. My dad, Dana, you were there. He goes, I do need you. And then she stopped. And she goes, no, I'm serious. If you need anything, just let me know. And she started walking out. My dad goes, I do. I need your help. So I'm standing at the door. And, of course, I've lost a little weight since then, but I was a pretty good-sized fella. And she goes, well, it's good to see y'all. Let me know if you need something. And I blocked her. I said, my dad's talking to you. He needs your help. She turns around, and Dad says, if you could just be here for a few hours in the morning. He said, I've got to be able to go home, get a shower. And he said, the kids have hung out day and night around the clock. And says, you know, you said whatever we need. I do need you. Can you give me 3 hours? She goes, well, what time? He told her, she goes, I got to have my dog Tippy to the vet. So isn't it kind of funny how everybody's always, if you need anything, call us. If you need this, if you need that. But when you call on them, where are they at? Or you get this. It rings and it rings and it rings and it rings. Like I tried to call Dana on the way here. Right out from me. I call, hey, what's up? No answer to the phone. No answer to the phone. But it seems that you can get when you need people the most, you can't find them, can you? God will never make you leave a message. You can communicate with God day and night, can't you? So I want to just drive this point home. Know that God loves you. He's going to stick with you. And when He tells you to bring it to Him, He doesn't put conditions on that. For those who labor and are heavy laden, He says, bring it to Him. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. And that's what we're longing for. When times get difficult on our part, we have to remember that God loves us. We do have difficulties, but remember that He cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time, casting all your what? Keep going. Why? Folks, people in the world will let you down. I promise you, they're going to let you down. Quit judging the church on people. Amen? Say that with me. Quit judging the church on people. Because we all make mistakes. Not every one of us are perfect like you are. Get it? Okay, and any of us can say that. Not all of us are perfect like you are. And so am I being sarcastic? Yes, very. So I want to drive the point home that we're all in this together, aren't we? We're all just trying to get to heaven. And let's do what God's calling us to do. When times get difficult, remember that He loves us. He's not going to ever forsake us. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 tells us that. Let me give you this last point, then we got to go. When times get difficult, here's what I want you to think about, and then we're going to close. This is kind of a short point, Heather. So be ready. I want you to think about the reward. The reward is heaven. Say that with me. The reward is heaven. That's what we're doing. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're longing for. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many. If it wasn't so, I would have. He says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive it to myself, that where I am, go. There you may be also. I can't think of anywhere in all of the world that I want to be. Anywhere different than to be with Jesus Christ, to be with God, to be with the heavenly host, to be with all of the Christians that have went on before me. That, brothers and sisters, is where I want to be. That keeps me going. That should keep you going as well. Amen? The reward. The reward. The world has its problems. I'm not minimizing that. There's sicknesses. There's sadness. There's tears. There's death. There's separation. There's crime. All kinds of stuff. But please know that through it all, please know that through it all, there's an Almighty God that loves us, and He will carry us through whatever storm we may be in. But you've got to open your heart gate. You've got to let Him in. And you've got to allow Christ to dwell in you. And you've got to dwell in Christ. We dwell in Christ by being involved in His Word. We digest the Bible, brothers and sisters. We consume it. We eat it up. And we live by the very oracles of Almighty God. We have an active prayer life. We do what God's calling us to do. We remember that we're our brother's keeper. We've got responsibilities, though, that are about us. Today, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, I beg you in the light of the Scriptures to become one. Your soul's destiny depends on it. Eternity depends on it. Today, you're either going to go to hell or heaven. Amen? Choice is up to you. If you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus is God's Son. He was put to death, rose again, now sitting at the right hand of the Father. If you're willing to repent of your sins, change the way you're living, start living for Jesus. That's not, by the way, that's not an overnight situation. That takes years. Do you understand? That's why we're here. That's why the church is here. Y'all got to help me keep repenting. You got to help me to perfect. Amen? We've got to help each other. And then we're to hear His Word and to believe His Word, to have that desire to follow Jesus Christ and to follow Him every single day. Live faithful unto death and always remember that we are indeed. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you became a Christian years ago. You were baptized for the forgiveness of sins, but now you find you've been out of the church for a while, back walking in the wilderness of Satan. Kick Satan in the face. Get away from him. Get him out of your house. Get him out of your car. Get him out of your home. Get him out of your heart. Don't let him in your workplace. Get him out. Amen? We're going to help you any way that we can. If you need anything at all, you're invited to come right now as together we stand.